getting my clubs all out left, and I'll beat your ass to November. You won't have time to play anymore between now and then, but I'll have plenty. And if you'll, if you'll invite me to come to see you or go out to Burning Tree, I'll beat you.
I sure would.
I shoot about 120.
Well, that's what I did until I got into about 10 days in a row this fall.
I tried to find somebody that I could play with, and I just can't do it. The worst ones are too good for me.
Mr. President, I'd like very much to come down and pay my respects.
Anytime you want to.
And I've got a little presentation I'd like to make here that I was supposed to make last April.
Sure, love to. Anytime you want. You want to come today?
Yeah, that would
all
be
right. Let's see. What about 5:30?
5:30 would be fine.
That's good. That gets you out up there. I don't want to take you away from the boat. Might need one.
No, I'm due to have a briefing at the hands of Dean Rusk, I think about 3:45, so 5:30 ought to come just about right.
I think that'd just be excellent. You ought to stay close to Rusk and Helms, because these days they change every hour on the hour, so you just can't learn too much. And I briefed Mansfield and Dirksen this morning on briefed Cabinet and NSC yesterday. I wish you could have been at either meeting. I guess could have not invited the Democratic Vice President's in. I had Hubert was there, but he can go. But anyway, the Eastern European thing's still tense. The Romanians are quite worried. And I don't think you can ever tell what the Soviet will do. We don't want to blow it up any, but Gromyko told Kennedy he didn't have any missiles in Cuba. The next day, they were looking at us. And there's been a lot of things going on. We just don't understand that Eastern European thing. We could get involved right quick. We sure don't want to, but the European thing. Particularly on Vietnam. There's one point I made yesterday that somebody told me is the best point we've made that I think that you ought to bear in mind. I'm looking at my son-in-law now. He is stationed up close to the DMZ. He's been under fire every day since March. He's the senior Marine captain. The rest of them have been killed or removed. He started out of the company at 220 and got down to 59. They're lobbing rockets at him from across the DMZ. If we could go in there and hit them with our troops, we might bust them up and run them away from the DMZ, but we dare not invade North Vietnam. They are constantly invading South Vietnam through the DMZ. We've asked them to reestablish it. It's 10 miles. We've told them to make it 20 or 30, or just reestablish it 10. They've said they wouldn't do it. We said, we will stop the bombing if you will stop the rockets coming across this DMZ. They say, screw you. Now, Abrams says one of two things about to happen. If you want to stop the bombing, I have got to pull my three divisions out of there, plus one Vietnamese division. Because I can't stand to let them shoot at them, and they're sitting there. They can't go after them. And the only way we're stopping some of them now, in July, mid-July, we had 1,000 trucks that started from there. He cut them down to August to just a little over 100. Now that meant nearly 900 of them didn't have 3.5 tons on them, or 27,000 tons that somebody has to bring back in his butt. So the whole question is, if we stop the bombing, will they stop the bombing in that particular area? Now, we stopped it in Hanoi because they can't hit us from Hanoi. We stopped it in Haiphong. They can't hit us from Haiphong. We stopped it from 80% of their territory. Now, we said we'd stop it all if they would make any adjustment. But they say no. Now, in these private meetings, and they ought to make Russ tell you what they say in these private meetings. Not the official meeting, but the office. C. Cy Vance goes out and meets with them under a shed. But they tell us, we asked them if they could reestablish the DMZ. They said no. We said, well, will you agree not to shell the cities? They said no. We said, well, would you agree to shut down the infiltration? Well, they said no. Their answer to us is no on everything. Yet there's great pressure to us to do this. Now, the Pope, nobody knows this, but I don't know whether Russ will even tell you, but the Pope has been very anxious, and he had arranged to see me last Christmas. And he said, won't you stop the bombing? I said, okay, what do they do? He said, well, we'll stop the infiltration. I said, that's okay, you go tell them I'll do that. So he told them, and they said, screw you. While I was down at the ranch, just before y'all's convention, I believe it was August 18th, I forgot it. About that period. Pope sent his man over here to see me. Slipped into the country. Didn't even tell a state to walk. Told nobody but Jack Blenny. Jack's on good terms with the Pope and with the, whatever you call it out here, the apostate papal delegate. And so, I don't know whether you know him or not, but this fellow from Chicago, this Machekas. Have you ever met him, the Monsignor that's the Pope's right-hand man? Well, he is a Polish priest from Chicago, just smart as hell and very good-looking, very handsome. And he is like Walter Jenkins was to me, or Marvin Watson. He just stands outside his door. He brings everybody in. He sits in every meeting the Pope has. He sat in all of them with me as president. And he's his top man, so he called him on to see me. So he brought a jet star and picked him up in New York. We flew him to ranch. He said, the Pope wants to go to Hanoi. And what can he offer and what can he say? And he wants to go to Saigon and he wants to try to bring peace. So I said, okay, if he'll just say almost anything, if he'll do anything, it'd give me some justification where my people won't say I kill him. Will he cut down on his infiltration? Will he cut down on his bombing the cities? Will he agree to extend the DMZ from 10 miles to 20 miles, or will he reinstitute it to 30 miles, or will he turn it over to the ICC and let them control it, or any U force, or just anything? So he said they took about five or six things and said that's fine. So he went back. I got a letter yesterday. Ho Chi Minh, he sent me a copy of Ho Chi Minh's letter. Ho Chi Minh said, screw you, the hell with you, that old fart, good mess. That's what we're confronted with. And we just got to quit kidding ourselves. We got to let the Pope of this country know that that's it. It's not our problem. Not that we don't want peace. But they lost 8,800 men in the last 10 days. And they've been trying to get their third offensive going, but they haven't. But everybody thinks if I stop the war. I'm convinced if I stop the war, the bombing, today, tomorrow, they'd say, okay, get your troops out. Just continue to hit us. It's one step by one. I cut off a lot of the area. I cut off a northern high farm. I stopped 90%. But they just make one demand after the other now. Unless you want to surrender and get out of there, the next move's got to be up to them. And I think if we don't photograph their shots, if we don't let them think that they're going to get a better deal, I think we'll get a deal before November. For the first time now, they have agreed that they'll listen a little more. And we got another meeting set up, a private meeting. And their top man has come back there. But they've been thinking that, well, McCarthy do a little better for them. Maybe Nixon do a little better, but criticized Johnson. Maybe Humphrey do a little better. Now it looks like pretty well that those things are fading. So the Russians are urging us now to come to a meeting. So we may just get through that. But that Pope thing, I thought you ought to know, because if I could say so, it would rock some of these doves in this country. I can't say so because I want him to make other moves. And I didn't initiate. I was just down there. He sent the man over himself. That's what happened. You come down 5:30.